Hello, welcome to the Food Body Spirit Connection Summit, bringing you tips and treasures to nourish your body, heal your heart, honor your spirit, and respect our Mother Earth. I'm your host, Deborah Grenard, and I have with me today Mark Nasek. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Deborah. It's wonderful to be here among all the amazing people you've gathered for this summit. I'm quite honored.
I'm quite honored to have you. Thank you for being here. Mark is going to talk to us today about energy connection, the essence of healing. And Mark is going to give us his take on how that applies and how that integrates with the food, body, spirit connection. So first I'm going to read Mark's bio. Mark Nasek, also known as Namaste Man, is an internationally known teacher, healer, shaman, yogi, mystic, Reiki master, Sufi and holistic health and business consultant. Well known for facilitating life-changing experiences, Mark has been featured on television and radio, both nationally and internationally, while pursuing his global quest for health, vitality, longevity, and spiritual enlightenment. Mark has studied with many masters of the world's traditions and religions. He has presented at the world's top resorts, spas, institutes, and centers, including Canyon Ranch Health Resort, Miraval Life in Balance Resort, Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health, the Omega Institute, Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center, the Ann Wigmore Institute and Foundation, Ascent of Thought, as well as aboard the world's most famous ocean liner, Cunard's Queen Mary II. Most recently, Mark has been studying Kabbalah in the Holy Land's mystical city of Thoth, where Kabbalah has very deep roots, offering holistic health consulting, spiritual counseling, and executive business coaching. Mark's clientele includes regular folks, CEOs, doctors, attorneys, heads of state, Hollywood folk, entrepreneurs, and well-known spiritual masters and teachers. Mark, and I know I've read a lot more of Mark's bio than what we really have time. I could take the whole 45-minute interview just reading all of the different things that Mark has done. And I don't know your age. I didn't ask. But I think you're a relatively young person to have done the amazing things and that all of the many things that you've done. And it is quite beautiful to see and quite impressive. So, Mark, can you start off by telling us a little bit more about your journey and how you got to be doing what you're doing?
Sure, I would be most happy to do that. But first, I would like to just start with a short experience just to bring us all connected and to have us feel our breath and connect to our deep, deep hearts. So if you could close your eyes, feel your feet on the floor, lift your spine tall, and just focus on your breathing while I share this. Ana bakoach, gedulat yemincha, teter tzura, kebel rinat amcha, sagvenu tarenu nora, nagibor doshe yehudcha, Kevavat Shomrem, Bakem Terem, Rakamei Tzitkatecha, Tamid Gomlem, Chasin Kadosh, Barov Tuvcha, Nahel Adatecha, Yehid Gehe, Lamcha Pnei, Zokrei Kedushatecha, Shavatenu Kabel Ushmat Zaktenu, Yodea Ta'alamot.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that just opens the heart. It's very similar to the Sufi Fatiha prayer. And to answer your question, how did I get into the world of holistic health and wellness? I used to be a real estate broker and a mortgage banker on the East Coast of the United States.
Wow.
And that's a very, very busy, crazy world, as you all probably know. And what was happening is I was getting bloody noses. And I went to the doctor, and he wanted to cauterize my nose, which means they stick a hot piece of metal up your nose and burn the blood vessel so it will no longer bleed. And I was thinking, gee, if I have gangrene, what are you going to do? Just chop my arm off, or are you going to figure out why I got gangrene and try to resolve that? But that wasn't even a question, so I said, thank you very much. I don't think so. I'll figure out another way. And my mom's friend, Charlotte Travis, was into health and wellness, and I wound up giving her a call to say, what do you think I should do? And she said, you need to have a lot of vitamin K. Vitamin K will stop the blood. It'll clot the blood. Because the night that I called her, my nose wouldn't stop bleeding for 4 hours. So, and I learned, okay, I can either take a pill, and she told me for vitamin K, or I can find out what foods have large doses of vitamin K in it, and I can start eating those, like green leafy vegetables, kale, very dark greens, have a lot of vitamin K, and that naturally will stop the blood, coagulate the blood, and stop nosebleeds. So that was the beginning. And then she referred me to a holistic doctor who did all these allergy testing, and I found out I was allergic to dairy and Kentucky bluegrass and to corn, and that I had yeast infection. There was an overgrowth of yeast that had symptoms of allergies and stuff like this. So he put me on a yeast-free diet for 21 days. And in those 21 days, the bloody noses stopped. I also had hay fever. The hay fever got totally under control. I was taking Allarest, which is a over-the-counter drug for the allergies that just made me miserable and didn't really help. And after changing my diet in 21 days of no sugar, no dairy, nothing fermented, no leftovers, everything changed. Not only did my symptoms of the bloody nose and the hay fever go away, what I found was that my emotional state of being was way more balanced. I was in sales. I was selling real estate and mortgages at the time. And being in sales, it's very up and down reality. And everything just got stabilized within me. No matter what happened outside with the sales and the business, somehow I was more able to stay in a place of equilibrium, which I found amazing. And that really inspired me to look deeper into nutrition, and it was the beginning of a spiritual awakening.
Okay, so this was the beginning of your looking into nutrition, and also spiritual awakening, which, if you saw my video on the thing, that's similar to me.
I saw that video.
Okay. So, that sounds very familiar to me. So, tell us then about, like, how did that happen for you? What was happening in your life, and what was showing up? What was that experience like for you?
That experience for me was like stepping into an unknown world. Because here I was, this doctor told me to stop eating everything that I would normally eat. And I felt like a rabbit, eating carrots and lettuce. Like, there was a whole new world. I started reading labels, and every label I read had something that I wasn't supposed to eat. Yeah. So that's when I discovered health food stores. Even the bread. I couldn't have any bread that had yeast. All bread has yeast, except for sourdough bread, which I still couldn't eat because it was fermented. But there was a bread that was rye bread that was yeast free. So I had to like learn a whole new, not just menu, but possibility of ingredients to make a new menu. It's like going back to kindergarten. And it was amazing. It was an amazing education to learn about clean food, organic food, and food that would nourish my body and give me vitamins and minerals and energy that was not in the food that I was eating previously, like Burger King and fast food and dairy and all this other stuff that's the typical American diet that just obviously didn't work for me. When I was selling real estate and mortgage banking, selling real estate and mortgages, I was stressed out, eating, not sleeping enough, eating awful food, and it took its toll. And in the office that I worked, everyone was older than me, because at that time I was like doing this stuff and I was like 21 years old. People were having heart attacks, aneurysms, all this stuff. And I thought, whoa, if I stay on this path, this is going to be me. And at that time, my grandfather was in the hospital with gout, and he suffered from a stroke because of gout, and he passed away.
Wow.
And so those two realities really opened my eyes and inspired me to do a 360 turn. And I changed my entire life. And I basically did it in 21 days. Because I saw this practice that this holistic doctor presented to me worked. And it just led me down the path of, okay, if this is what happens with food, it's so simple. All I did was change my diet to eating whole foods, organic foods, and my whole world changed. And so that inspired me to learn more about raw foods and fasting, and I experimented with that. Because after all that experience with real estate and mortgage banking, I decided that was in the East Coast. I decided I have to change my whole life. And I moved to California, to San Diego. And, that was the shift. I learned that there was so many things, not just about my food, not just about my work. I found things that there was in my personal life that I wanted to change. For example, I had never been to university. All I knew was business. It just came very natural to me, and I never went to university. I was just naturally good at it, and I wanted to open my world to the entire world, not just business, and that opened me up to spirituality because I went to university and studied all kinds of amazing things that just opened me up. And so I experimented with yoga and meditation, and all of these things just opened up the spiritual world to me as well.
Beautiful. Excuse me. So I just want to reiterate that you said that this 360 shift turned around, or I don't know if you call it 360 or 180, but nonetheless, it happened for you within 21 days of making a decision to try another way besides having the vessels in your nose cauterized and taking pills. So
yes.
It happened very quickly. Now I can hear a couple of people out there saying, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to go ahead and just have the medical procedures because there's no way that in 21 days I can be in a position where I'm ready to leave my life and, go from my income, my stability, my family, you know, the life as I know it right now, into moving out to the West Coast and becoming a hippie eating twigs. Yeah, and I say this because that's what I heard when I did my my turnaround. And mine was also, it happened in a very short amount of time, you know. It's like, oh, what are you going to do? Go out there and, you know, live in the hippie commune and eat twigs and free love and all this stuff. And it's like, well, no, not exactly like that. And, you know, just want to say that, well, I'll let you say, if you have anything to say to that to help to ease any fears that may be coming up for people around that.
Well, for me, I grew up that success meant I had to make a lot of money and I had to be in a very professional profession.
Mm-hmm.
And
traditional professional.
There was a lot of what's that?
I said the traditional professions, yes, that make
right,
a lot of money.
Right. So I was doing that, but I was not happy. So that was another part of me, like, okay, I want to be happy. And so I felt like moving and was part of that because I wanted to have new friends. So it wasn't just about the food. I wanted to change. This made me wake up and see the things in my life that I wanted to change. And it felt easier to go somewhere else to make the change because my friends, if I started to make the change, they're like, whoa, this is not you. Who are you? Like, I didn't want to have to deal with them. I wanted to do it fast and not have to deal with the pressure of my friends. And looking back on it, now I could do it differently because being on the other side of that experience and when I work with clients, I tell them, you don't need to go to the other side of the world to do this. There's ways to do it right here in your present environment with your family if you're married and have kids, with your current job. There's ways to do this quickly and maintain much of your existing life. Because ultimately the change is internal. And I mean, at that point I was single, I was not married, I didn't have a family, I didn't have attachment, so I could do it. I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But I work with people all the time that are not in this place, but are seeking drastic changes, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And so I work with them how to make those shifts and integrate all of them, because it's like if you're walking across the street and you leave one piece of yourself on the sidewalk, you're no longer whole. You're defragmented. And being whole is taking every aspect with you on every step of your journey, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. So so wherever one is, right here, right now, there are ways to transform all of these different realms that we're talking about and having support from your family and friends as well. Does that answer your question?
Yes, great. And I hope that that did for anybody out there who may have been experiencing that reaction. I just like to, you know, help to ease that fear that, I mean, it's a real fear because change can be scary. And it's one of the reasons why people resist it, right? Because they don't know. So I think it's just, that was very helpful. Thank you. So then tell us then, if you would, about now your journey from into the healing world and because there's so many different types of healing and different modalities, and you've obviously on this journey from that young age until now studied with many different kinds of healers and many different traditions. So tell us about that journey for you and what you learned from it that you want to share with people about healing.
Great. So when I was like 18, I was on the front porch of my house, and I was massaging my friend's neck and shoulders. And they said, wow, you're like really good at this. And I don't even think I ever did that with someone before. So I was kind of shocked. And after this whole process happened with me moving across the country and exposing myself to yoga and to meditation and to body work and massage therapy, I recalled that experience. And so I began to, the first thing that I was interested in was yoga. I wound up going to a resort in Tecate, Mexico called Rancho La Puerta. I went there with someone who's a yoga teacher, and I learned about yoga. And I was running. I decided to take up running before that, and I would do all these stretches, and I realized, wow, this yoga is very similar to these other stretches I was doing. Different, but similar. So I got into yoga, and then I learned more about yoga and the effects on the body, the effects on the mind, the effects of meditation. Like when one goes and works out in a gym or goes running, your body creates endorphins, gives you lots of energy. It's a drug that your body creates. So what I learned in meditation is that serotonin is created in the brain. And when people meditate, there's serotonin, which is they call the peace drug. Mm-hmm. And so that really helped me because I'm like a type A personality, and that totally helped me relax. Headaches went away. Other things, this whole deepening process continued with these different practices that I learned. So meditation, that's when I started to get deeper into yoga and meditation. And I found that when I was doing yoga and meditation, I actually had a practice that I did yoga every morning on my own for an hour and a half, and then meditated. And even if I wanted to take a yoga class, I would do that class in the afternoon because I felt that doing it on my own to have my own deep inner experience, and it was really beautiful. And I had that practice for like 10 years. And I also found that in the process of meditating, very interesting things happened. Like I started to feel things would happen before they happened. Like I started, it was very new to know, to feel like I would have this sensation that something's going to happen before it happened, and then it happened. And that was a little scary, and it was also really comforting because somehow I could prepare for these things before they happened. And these days, as time and space speed up, when we think about someone, often they might call, or just thinking about someone is putting an energetic message into the universe, and people respond because we're all very connected spiritually, empathically, and but we won't go there for now. So that led me to see a physical practice other than food changing my life. Now I'm using my physical body in yoga postures and then meditating, and there was more happening from that. So over the years, I ended up becoming a yoga teacher, and I wound up running the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico, which is based on live raw foods. And then I worked with Gabriel Cousins, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, who is also part of this summit, who's very amazing. And I used to run his juice fasting retreats and did healing with his clientele and was a gourmet chef at his healing center in Arizona. So then taking nutrition to another step of using live raw foods, bringing more energy into the body, allowing the body to be more flexible and opening one up to really connecting to the spiritual realm. And this summit is about connecting the body and the spirit and the food. So I found on my journey how all these things come together, and they're critical. I found that if I'm doing yoga and meditating, if I'm eating very heavy, dense food, I have an awful meditation. I found when I ate more light food, more hydrating foods, more energizing foods, my meditation, my yoga experience was much better. In fact, I live in Switzerland, and I was preparing for a marathon. And when I was running, I noticed that whenever I ate cooked food, after my run, my legs were burning. I noticed when I ate raw foods and went for a run, there was no burn in my legs. The cooked food has lactic acid, which makes the muscles burn. So I was amazed, like, wow, I'm able to run and not have this effect. I was able to run better. It was simply amazing. So I found it help my physical practice of exercise, yoga and running.
Love it.
And then I ran the Ann Wigmore Institute in Puerto Rico, which is live or living foods from Ann Wigmore's teachings. And then I met Gabriel Cousins in Arizona, and I worked with him. And then from there, I studied Qigong with a bodyguard from the Dalai Lama. And was teaching Qigong and yoga and meditation at Canyon Ranch and doing lectures on basically the stuff that I'm sharing with you, explaining how all the different healing modalities work in their essence based on quantum physics and science that the layperson could understand empirically and then have an experience in their heart that might not make any sense to the mind because it's outside the realm of mind. It's in emotion and bodily feeling. And then one knows that it's true because with the mind is limited that we can understand things from a place of mind, mental. It's like, let's say, you go to Blockbuster, not Blockbuster, you go to a TV shop. You buy a 50-inch plasma TV. You bring it home. You live out in the boonies, so there's no cable, so you need a satellite dish to get the connection. And you buy a beautiful stereo. You hook everything up. You turn on the satellite dish, and there's just snow on the screen and hissing through the speakers. That's a major bummer. You spend all this money and you see snow and you hear hiss. Not good. Well, what they didn't tell you when you get that satellite dish is you have to turn that satellite in a way so that it connects to the satellite out in space. And when it's turned to the right place, all of a sudden a connection happens from the satellite dish to the satellite and poof, you have a beautiful image on your TV. And you hear beautiful sound through your speakers. So that connection is a transmission of the energy. So you can have the TV, you can have all the equipment, but if you don't have the energetic connection, it's all useless. The same with our physical body. With our physical body, we have the physical body, we have the mind. The owner's manual for the physical body. But if we don't feel a connection beyond us to the energy that is the source of everything, we're like a battery that has no juice in it. And we all want to be like that ever-ready battery with the rabbit banging on the drum. We want to go and go and go and go. It's all about energy. And Einstein knew this. He came up with his theory of relativity, E equals mc square. And from that we know that energy is eternal. It doesn't ever go away. It just changes form. And you could say the soul is like that. Energy is like that. Because if you're in Arizona and you have an ice cube and you put it on the sidewalk, it's over 100 degrees. It melts in about 3.2 minutes. And then you have a puddle of water. And if you watch that for about 10 minutes, it will vaporize into a gas. But it still is. It went from ice, solid matter, to liquid, to a gas. But it still is. It just changed form. Now, we have the tools to see color. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, red, all the colors in the rainbow. But there's other colors that exist. On top of violet is ultraviolet, but we can't see it, but we know it exists. And you know it exists because you have ultraviolet sunglasses to protect you from it. And below red is infrared. You can't see that. But you know that's real because Sony makes a camcorder that you can record with infrared capabilities. And Kodak makes film in the old days, infrared film. And when you take images with this, there's stuff on the film. So we know that infrared and ultraviolet are beyond the spectrum of the human capability of vision. There's all kinds of sounds, many frequencies. But if you blow a dog whistle, nobody hears it. Except Spot. He comes running.
Right.
Spot has the ability to hear that frequency and humans don't. If you walk across the street in Phoenix, Arizona, you're getting bombarded with X-rays, gamma rays, microwaves, TV waves, radio waves, cell waves, Bluetooth waves, FM waves, AM waves. It's no matter, no wonder you don't get knocked over.
Right.
So all these things are affecting us, and when one becomes tuned in through meditation and the spiritual life and conscious eating, the body's subtleness changes. In the old days, we had a Marantz stereo. It had a big dial that you could turn the dial across, it would slide across the tuner through all of the stations. It just glided. It was beautiful. So then you choose 108.9, and then it's not totally crisp. There's a little static. So next to that big dial, there's a little fine-tuning button. And you dial that, and you look at the gauge until you get the optimal signal. There's no more static, and the jazz music is clean and crisp, and it sounds beautiful. So we are like those instruments. We can fine-tune ourselves to pick up different frequencies of energy.
Nice.
And when we do this...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tell us what?
I was going to say, tell us then how we can use this for healing, how this energy connection becomes the essence of healing.
Great question. The healing is facilitated through a healer or a practitioner, but the healing happens ultimately from this energy. From spiritual energy, from divine energy, from the source of all life. You know, in the West, we think we're pretty smart and technical, but if someone dies, we can't bring them back to life. We don't have that power, yet someone can be taken out of this world in a nanosecond for reasons like disease, for reasons like they got hit, for reasons other than we would know, they're just gone. And we might not even ever know why this happened. So there's things beyond our ability to know and rationalize. This is the essence of life force that makes the trees do what they do, the animals do what they do, the earth, all of life itself. I guess it's like love. Love is like the thing that holds all matter together. Like your table, your computer, your phone that you're listening to this on is a physical thing that has molecules. But how come those molecules don't just like float around? Something's holding them all together. What is it that holds everything together? And it's this life force. It's in everything. From the tiniest, tiniest thing to the biggest things holding the planets from not going like a marble game. So when we connect to this energy, it's like that transmission from the satellite dish to the satellite, and suddenly there's an image. When a healer, a practitioner, is connected into that life force, that life force is doing the healing. The therapist, the healer, is just holding a space for that to happen. Just like the satellite dish and the satellite are the physical manifestations of what's holding the energy to go between the two. It's just like that.
So now we talked a little bit about healing from the cellular level. Can you talk specifically about how this relates to pain and trauma that's held in the body?
Sure. So every cell in the body is made up of three things: a neutron, a proton, and an electron. What's that? An electric circuit. Just like your outlets of the wall, there's three plugs: positive, negative, neutral. Your computer has a hard drive. Things are stored electromagnetically on that hard drive. In the old days, we had cassettes. You're listening to Madonna. You're sick of listening to Madonna. You go to Spencer Gift. You buy a little black box. It has magnets spinning around it. Inside the box, you put the cassette on the box. Madonna's gone. What those magnets did was pull the electromagnetic charge off the cassette, and now you have a blank tape. And now you can put on somebody else on that same tape. So things are stored electromagnetically on that tape. And when that tape is read by the head of the cassette player, it reads the electromagnetic energy. The computer is storing information digitally on a hard drive. The phone lines, when you speak to someone overseas, you speak into the phone, your sound, your voice is converted into a sound wave, which is converted into an electronic impulse, which is then transferred into light as your voice is now traveling under the ocean in fiber optic cables as light. It gets to the other end, that light is transformed into electronic impulse. And that's converted into a sound wave, and then the other person hears your voice.
Isn't that
so everything?
I mean,
yeah.
It really is. Okay.
To the cells in the body, the cassette, the computer, the fiber optics are all storing information either as sound or light or electromagnetically. The cells in your body are storing things electromagnetically. So let's say you have two magnets, North Pole to South Pole. What happens? They attract. Turn one of the magnets over, they repel. Now, if you take one of those magnets and slam it on the ground really hard, it's never going to stick to your refrigerator again. You can try it. Because when the magnet hits the ground, the magnet stops, but the electromagnetic force keeps going because it's not bound by the physical material metal object of the magnet. It goes through the floor. You can try that.
Wow.
So let's say, so basically what I'm saying is the electron, neutron, and proton in the cells is an electric circuit just like the cassette, and it stores information. It stores everything that happens to you. You fall and get hurt. Well, that information is stored in the cells. This is cellular memory. There's mental memory. Oh, I fell. But then there's body memory that's stored in the cells. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. One is thought, and one is holding the actual emotion and the trauma of an experience. So let's say there's a 13-year-old girl, and she gets raped, God forbid. And then she's now 30 years old, and she's diagnosed with cervical cancer. And they want to do a full hysterectomy. And they do the full hysterectomy, and the cancer comes back. That's what would happen in Western medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this 13-year-old girl was not just hurt physically. She was hurt mentally and emotionally. At the time of the rape, it's so painful that she leaves her body and goes into like a dream state and pretends something else is happening, because what's happening is it's so painful that she would die if she felt all that pain. And she was invaded physically, sexually, emotionally, mentally. Like a burglar breaking into your house and taking everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if I were going to work with this person, I would work with this person to help heal that emotional trauma, the physical trauma, the mental trauma. Because we have a physical body, but we also have an energetic body. If you walk up to someone and get in their face 2 inches from them, in America, that doesn't go over so well. We like our space.
Right.
So what are they? What is someone feeling when you get so close? You have an energetic body or an auric body or from yoga or a causal body. There's an energy body. And so we feel that. So when we do healing, we have to work with this body as well, not just the physical. So when we work with the spiritual body and the emotional body and heal those things, we could actually stop this person from developing cancer. Because
okay,
the
can
cancer
kind
is coming
of healing
from the... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I think we have... Yeah, can this kind of healing also reverse disease? You said it can stop
yes.
them from developing the cancer. Can it also reverse the cancer? Now, can you? You said yes. So, have you had success healing ailments that Western medicine was unable to remedy? Can you share some experiences of that with us?
Yeah, I have. I did a session with someone who wanted me to do a session with their child. The child decided they didn't want to do this. So the mom said, well, why don't you work with me since I'm here? I didn't know anything about the mom's story. I did a session with the mom. This was a long time ago. And then I went to build my first website. And I wanted testimonials of work that I had done with people. So I wrote mm-hmm. to this woman, would you be open to share a testimonial with me? This was like 3 years after the actual session. She wrote to me and said, that was absolutely amazing, because after that session, I went to my doctors, and he told me that the disease I have went into remission.
Wow.
The other thing I have seen happen, I did a test. I worked with a nurse with dark field microscopy, dark field microscopy, which is a microscope that's hooked up to a TV camera. So we take someone's blood, put it on a slide, put the slide under the microscope. We can see the blood on the television. We can see the cells moving. I took a patient that had a disease. We pulled the blood. We looked at it. You could see the cells kind of like not round, odd shape, some of them like all bunched up in one place and bunched up in another place with big spaces between them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a healing session with this person. Then we pulled more blood and looked at that under the microscope, and we recorded the video that we saw on the TV. The blood looked totally different. The cells were more round. The cells were spread out. There was less space between clumps of cells. It was almost as if it was a different person's blood.
Beautiful.
So we can see instantly how healing affects the physical in a nanosecond. And this is also based on the work of a scientist, Hans Jenning, with the work of somatics. What somatics is, let's say we have a restaurant table, you know, they have a pole and then the tabletop is on top. Let's say we take the tabletop off and we put a piece of sheet metal. And on that sheet metal, I pour sand. And then I take a bow from like a violin and I play it on the edge of the sand, on the edge of the sheet metal. What happens is that sand moves into a geometric shape, perfectly symmetrical, like a mandala. Thousands of grains of sand totally moving in an organized state. How does that happen? Vibration, frequency. Now I play I play that bow a little faster on that sheet metal. Suddenly the sand goes into total chaos, like when I originally poured it and it was a pile of sand. And then it goes into a whole nother geometric shape mandala. Perfectly symmetrical. How does that happen? This is the science of somatics that proves that vibration, frequency changes the molecular structure, changes the physical.
Beautiful.
So this is how, yeah, it's really amazing. Really amazing. So all of this type of healing happens when we take someone into an altered state. What's an altered state? It's a state of being where we bypass mind, logical thinking, and we bypass subconscious mind. Subconsciousness, because subconsciousness is also in the realm of mind. And we delve into the essence of the person, their heart and their deep soul. So let's imagine a plane. A plane crashes, it goes down, nobody survives. They want to know what happened. They get the black box out of the plane. The black box has all the record of everything that happened, and from that they can know why the plane went down. Your deep heart and soul is like a black box. Everything you experience is recorded there. If you hurt your knee, there's a place that your knee is connected to your heart, and the story of your knee and the cellular memory in the knee is also in your heart. So we're going past healing through the body of the cellular level, and we're going to heal on a soul level now. We're actually healing the soul, not just the physical or the emotional or the mental body. We're healing from the spiritual, which heals the physical, the emotional, and the mental. When you come from the place of healing the spiritual, it includes the physical. If you come to a place of healing the physical, it doesn't mean it will heal the spiritual. Let me say that again. When you just heal the physical, it doesn't necessarily mean it will heal the spiritual. It could, but it doesn't necessarily mean it will.
Right. Which begs the question, is that true healing? And is that what you really, you know, is that all you're looking for? We may be going to the same place, because you have a free gift for people that is going to help them to even get this a little deeper, right?
Right. I'm offering something that's called the Spring Cleaning Healing Meditation Experience. In this experience, you will hear a little bit about my background, and then I tell a story of a healing that Western medical doctors could not heal.
Mm.
And with two sessions of with this person, their problem was healed. I tell that story, and then I will take you through a short experience of healing so you can feel what I did with this person and actually experience it for yourself. So
Beautiful. That
is going to be available. I guess you just click on the download next to the link for this interview, and you'll see you can download that. And when you get it, you can just listen from your iPhone, your iPad, your Microsoft phone. What are they called?
Android, yeah.
Android, yes. Androids. You can download it and put on an MP3 player, whatever you like, and you can have that experience.
Awesome. So it's something you can actually download, have it to keep, take it wherever you want to take it, and as a very generous offer, a generous gift. So just to clarify, that link is on the website next to the interview. You'll see a link there. Just click that link. It'll take you straight through to Mark's website where you can access this recording and download it, take it wherever you want to go. It's a beautiful gift, a generous gift that can give us a taste of for ourselves, or can give you a taste for yourself of what Mark has been explaining to you in this interview. So, Mark, I want to thank you so much for everything that you've given. I feel like, you know, this is one of those topics where we could, we could probably spend another week talking about it. And but I want to let people get that taste from your free gift. And before we go, if there is one thing that you could give to people walking away from this interview that they could put into practice in their lives right now that could improve their lives, what would that one thing be?
That one thing would be, upon waking up from sleep, that you sit on the floor, somewhere alone, inside, outside, any place comfortable where no one will bother you, and you sit with your back up against the wall, and you close your eyes, and you spend just 5 minutes breathing. You're breathing anyway, but breathing consciously to be aware of your breath going in through your nose and into your belly, and then leaving your belly, exhaling through your nose. So you set a rhythm for the day of conscious breathing, conscious awareness that you're breathing. And in this space, you might remember your dream, and maybe something about your dream, because in the night, your dreams are your psyche and your consciousness working through stuff. And maybe you remember an insight from the dream that's valid for your day. And that this 5 minutes just sitting and focusing on your breath will set the stage by giving your brain serotonin, the peace drug, to keep you in a state of equanimity and peace. Not asleep. Sleep and awake conscious, two very different things, but peaceful, calm. able to ride the waves when people's anger shows up, when stress shows up, that you're able to breathe and maintain a place of equanimity and peace throughout your day.
Beautiful.
That
I
feel.
Love
that. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful way to start the day.
Yes. Sounds lovely. And I do hope for listeners, speaking to listeners, I do hope you'll take advantage of this gift from Mark. It's a very generous gift. And, you know, and for his tip, it's, you know, if you haven't tried it, just give it a shot. What have you got to lose, right? It really is amazing what can happen. You know, so just give it a shot in your life and see what happens. And, you know, by all means, let us know. We have a Facebook group set up, and I'd love to continue this conversation with you in the Facebook group. And Mark's in there as well. So let us know what you've thought of this interview, or join us there to continue the conversation. Anything you want to discuss from this, it's facebook.com/groups/foodbodyspirit. So that's facebook.com/groups/foodbodyspirit. And there's a link next to this interview as well with that, that'll get you to that Facebook group. So grab the free gift. Make a note of that tip that Mark just gave you, that advice, and meet us in the Facebook group, and let's continue. And also, stay tuned for your inbox so you know what's coming up next, and we'll be in touch. Thanks a bunch.